themselves and then the board. Go ahead.
Mitch Brass, Planning Development Sustainability.
Julia Dodds, Planning Development and Sustainability.
Ryan Moss, County Attorney's Office.
Dave Parsons, Board Member.
Andy Evans, Board Member.
Bill Evans, Board Member.
Eric Christensen, Board Member.
John Terrell, Board Member.
Okay, thank you. Approval of the agenda.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, approval of the December 20th, 2017 minutes.
Make the motion to approve.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, election of officers. Okay, does anybody have any ideas?
What's wrong with the way it is now?
I don't know. I thought you.
That's what you guys say.
For a while.
No, I'm not paid enough to take that job.
You want a raise? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I make a motion to nominate Bill as chairperson. Is that what you're called?
And.
Or to reelect the existing.
Yeah, reelect the existing officers.
Okay, I make a motion.
Vice chairman and you're.
Unless somebody wants to be vice chair.
Oh, you're, what are you?
I'm the secretary.
Secretary, okay. All right. Okay, it's the same.
I'll second.
Those in favor, okay, the motion is to do what we did before. I have to do this.
You want me to make it?
Go ahead.
Okay, I make a motion to just reinstate the same officers as last year.
Yeah, I'll second that motion.
Is that good?
Discussion.
Is that a discussion? We need a roll call on that one?
Go ahead.
Roll call.
Evans.
Aye.
Parsons.
Aye.
Leifers.
Aye.
Terrell.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Okay. Applications for public hearing. First, variance application number 182762 of Ella Schultz, requesting a variance for front yard setback. Staff will give a report first, and then anybody who would like to speak to the application can do that afterwards.
All right, so hopefully you guys can kind of see my.
Sure.
Not sure. So this is a request to vary the front yard setback regulations. This is a property that there is an existing deck that was built without a building permit. It's built slightly into the setback area, so they are requesting a variance to then so we can issue a retroactive building permit. The property is just south of Iowa City on Sand, or on this development on Sand Road. It's actually on Anderson Avenue. And it's just in a development in between Sand Road and the Pleasant Valley Golf Course. So here's a look at the property and what they are asking for. We can see there is an existing house on the property. You can see the orange line is the required 40-foot setback line, and then there's about 33 feet between the proposed or existing deck and the front yard setback, or the front yard lot line. So this property is located in the rural agricultural area of the county and also the Iowa City frame area. Iowa City does not comment or review variance requests in any portion of the county, so they do not have any comments. This property is just under a half an acre. It's 0.46 acres. It was platted as Lot 11 of Pleasant Valley Meadows in 1967. It was zoned earlier that year for residential purposes, and then about 11 years later, the house that sits on the property was built, and that was built with a building permit. We can see on this picture here, the red line is the extent of the Pleasant Meadows subdivision. We can see there have been four other variances issued in that subdivision, including two on one lot, and the most recent in 2013. And here is our property that we're looking at today. That was supposed to be there. So as you all know, we should evaluate a hardship before or to issue a variance, and a hardship should be established prior to the board issuing that variance. So to kind of look at some of the features that can make a hardship, the first thing is that the property was platted in 1967. That was prior to the establishment of our existing lot regulations, including the setbacks, but also our minimum lot size. Since then, they have changed. Now our minimum lot is about 40,000 acres, or 40,000 square feet, which is just under 1 acre. As I mentioned, this property is just under a half an acre. If the applicant were to request to rezone this property to RUA, which has a 30-foot front yard setback, it's unlikely that staff would recommend approval of that request. And then approval of this request would not alter the character of the area, as there are a number of variances in the subdivision, as well as this being an entirely kind of small lot, small development residential area. But finally, there is an existing house on the property, so it is usable in its current state without receiving this variance. But to get to our conclusion, in staff's opinion, this property does have a hardship that's consistent with what the board has interpreted a hardship as in the past, and recommends approval.
Thank you. Any questions?
Do you know what the other variances were for on those other properties?
I don't. They're all pretty small lots, so all these properties have a house and a garage.
So it's probably a setback of some kind.
Yeah, it would be a setback.
But you're saying the deck is already built?
The deck is built, that's correct.
And if we don't approve it, what happens?
They would need to remove the portion of their deck that extends into the setback.
Does that happen automatically on any issue like this that comes up where it's not in conformance, that you're made aware of, and then it just takes on a life of its own until it's resolved?
Yeah, if we find out the structure's built, we go out and we tag them, we tell them they need to get a building permit. Then when they go and apply for a building permit, if we find out the structure's in the setback area, one of the first things they can do is request a variance. Variance is denied, they'll either have to rezone or demolish the structure.
How did it come to light in the first place?
That I don't know. Our building staff were made aware of it.
Any more questions? Ellis Schultz or his or her representative here to speak for the application, to the application? Do you have anything you want to say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So we were just saying hi.
Sorry. Oh, you're saying hi.
No. That was for me. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve. Variance application BOA 18276-02.
I'll second the motion.
Discussion? Roll call.
Leifers?
Aye.
Evans?
Aye.
Terrell?
Aye.
Parsons?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Okay, the application is approved. I have no gavel. The application is approved. Next application is conditional use permit application of Bob Walker requesting a use permit to operate a winery.
So this property is located south and west of the metro area. We can see it's located on the west side of James Avenue, just south of IWV Road. And as Bill stated, this is a conditional use permit request to operate a winery, to process grapes, but then also have a small by appointment tasting room. So here's a look at the easternmost 40 of the Walker's farm. There's this 40 acres as well as a neighboring 40 just to the west. What they're requesting is they're going to have about 1 acre of grapes. They're proposing to build a new structure which will house the winery as well as potentially some other future activities. And then they will remove the existing driveway, put a new driveway in here to the north, and have a parking area out in the field, or out in what is a field, these aerial photographs. Here's just one more closer look. There's an existing farmstead and a house and a couple outbuildings located right in this area. So this property is located in a rural agricultural area. That is the portion of the county that agricultural uses are preferred. The applicant did provide a number of details about what they're requesting. First, they're saying they'll have up to 2 employees. They plan to have a tasting room, but that will be by appointment only. As I mentioned, it's part of an 80-acre farm, and then, as I also mentioned, they plan to construct a building in the future to house the winery and potentially some other future operations. So here's a look at how the property sits and the road infrastructure. James Avenue is a gravel road. As I mentioned, they are installing a new driveway to the north of the existing farmstead. There's about 1,800 feet of gravel between the new driveway and IWV Road, which is a paved road. The county engineer reviewed this request, as it is a conditional use permit. He first requested that that driveway be shifted to the south, which the Walkers have added to their plans and plan to do. And then he also requested that dust alleviation be applied on James Avenue if deemed necessary, and that that alleviation meets secondary roads department specifications. The health department did not have any objections to this specific request, but did want me to note that if there's any expansion to these operations, they would need to kind of reevaluate to ensure that septic and well meet those needs, as well as any future food service meets their regulations also. The sheriff had no objections, and in staff's opinion, we would like to recommend approval, but we do have a number of conditions. They're long. I'm going to read them word for you, so bear with me for a minute. The first is that any structures that are used for the winery process will not be considered agriculturally exempt and shall conform to the Johnson County Building Code. A building permit must be applied for and granted for any new structures, building upgrades, and remodels associated with the winery. Number two is the applicant must install a parking area with marked 9-by-20-foot spots at the rate of one space per 100 square feet of floor area intended for public use. If 10 or more spots are intended for public use are required, all parking areas and drives must be of a dust-free surface. The applicant must submit an approved stormwater management soil erosion control plan prior to being granted any new building permits for the winery. Number four is applicant shall work with the county engineer to apply dust control on James Avenue from 100 feet south of the property's proposed access, north to the intersection of IWV Road, if that's deemed necessary by the county engineer. Five is that the public may visit the site by appointment only. Six is no more than 50 customers shall be on site at any one time unless attending a separately permitted special event. Seven is any outdoor lighting installs on the property must be downcast and conform to downcast lighting regulations. And number eight is that the applicant have the well and wastewater approved by the Johnson County Public Health Department. And that is everything I have for you.
All of these conditions would be enforced by the building department, though.
It would be a combination of the building department and the zoning.
So they would have duplicate conditions. Seems like a lot of them don't have much to do with us.
Sure, I mean, we just want to make sure that we have some conditions that are consistent with what we've done in the past, what the board has done in the past, but also to ensure that we, you know, kind of protect if there's any extra dust and make sure that the use is kind of within the scope that they've applied to the board adjustment. So if it extends beyond that, they'll have to come back and ask you guys for a kind of an extension to their or modification to their existing permit.
Thank you. Any questions?
They haven't put up a building yet, though, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
They're just getting the conditional use, and then they'll go, if when they get ready to put up a building, then they'll come to you for the building permit.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yeah.
Is there something magic about the number 50?
No. No, there's not something. We wanted to ensure that it would be enough to meet what they're trying to do, but low enough to ensure that they're not having special events without having the associated permit. So we tried to set it high to make sure that if they had some larger tastings, they could still do that, but that they're not hosting a wedding and have it be look like a tasting, not that we don't trust the applicants.
Okay, is the parking requirements consistent with some other regulation we have?
Yeah, it's based on our requirements for event space.
Okay.
Our requirements are 10 spaces per 1,000 square feet. So since it's likely to be a smaller use, we actually took it and just cut it down to one space per 100 square feet.
So then if they want to do the special events, then they'll have to come back in and do the 12.
Correct.
Will they do the 12 event thing? Okay.
Yep. And they did have a permit for 12 events or like 5 or 6 events last year.
These people did?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious about the recommendation for condition number 5, why that's on there, why appointment only?
Just we want to make sure that it's staying within the scope that they've applied for. You know, I think if they were to change and need to expand beyond that, we'd be okay, but we want to make sure we can reevaluate it. I know the health department especially wants to be able to reevaluate just to make sure that it's not becoming I forget their exact terminology, but at some point it becomes no longer private events for food. And so once it's open for the public, it becomes regulated differently on the food side. I should have more details about that. I apologize that I don't, but.
But this just means they can't have open operating hours.
Correct, yeah.
Any other questions?
I've always wondered about the dust alleviation. If the county engineer will alleviate dust on any road he deems necessary. So if this is one of the roads that is deemed necessary, does he go, he's aware, or somebody's aware that this road has attachments to it and there's somebody that can be responsible for that particular stretch of road. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, he went out to the site and he specifically requested that we ask that. It's also something that we put into most of our conditional use permits that are on gravel roads.
But if there's
additional traffic from this use to the point that there becomes dust problems, the county engineer wants to make sure that we have that under control.
So is any dust problem going to be deemed the result of this operation?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
It hasn't in the past either. I know when we've done this in the past, it's been usually the county engineer doesn't require it, except that he requires that it has to be done if he says so, because more traffic, things like that.
Or surrounding neighbors complain of it, right?
Yeah, and that's what would trigger them to go out and actually review
right.
it to make sure that it's not creating any dust beyond what would be normally expected on a gravel road.
And if it previously more people, more than the 50, that would be re-looked at.
Right. And if it became a problem where the applicants felt like it was getting put on them unduly, they could come back to you guys and ask that you modify their permit. And you guys could look at, you know, what's triggering them to have to do dust, and they could ask to change that.
Any other questions? No? Okay. Bob Walker or his representative, would you like to say anything?
Yeah.
Just come on up.
I want to thank you guys.
Come up.
I'll use the microphone. Only if you use the gavel, right? Hey, Mitch, do you want to go back to
yes.
those slides just to show where we're at?
We'll still need your name and address for
oh,
the
yeah.
record.
I signed in Bob Walker, 3913 James Avenue Southwest. If you take a look at this, I'll take the mic with me so you can hear me. Our closest neighbor, there are no neighbors. Here, we're actually moving the driveway. And we talked, this is David Perko, we talked to him about what we're doing. He's okay with it. The driveway is going to angle out so lights do not, if we do anything at night, will not shine into his house. We're working with Scott, with Hart Fredrickson, to do our elevations. And, you know, so he has the driveway. And the driveway right now is on the downward slope of the hill. Where we propose to move it is at the top of the hill, so your sight vision is a lot better on there. As far as the dust control goes, this is kind of almost a main artery from south. If you get off Jasper Road, for dump trucks, garbage trucks going to the dump from the south. So they take a shortcut that way. We haven't done a traffic count, but just by being out there, that is something I'd like the county to take a look at. I don't think
before our building.
Yeah. But if we take a look at dust control, can you go back to number one? I just want to read that again.
To here?
Where do we have the dust control?
Four.
Right there, okay. Yeah, we'll work with the county. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't saying, hey, we have to do a third of a mile of dust control right now by appointment only. I don't think that will be a big thing on that. And I'd like to ask you on, I thought, and I haven't done any research on this, haven't talked to any attorneys on it, but I thought wineries were ag exempt. Are you familiar with that?
Well, so thanks for putting me on the spot.
Yeah, hey, no problem.
I always appreciate that. That always endears me to the applicant.
Well, I figure you're the one with, I don't know, so I'm just out of curiosity. And I know I'm putting you on the spot. without the research, but I thought they were ag exempt. But Mitch, do you know anything?
Not that I know of. Ag exemption talks about structures for agricultural uses. I know that, and Ryan, kind of to put you on the spot, they're treated differently for taxation purposes.
Jump in and say the growing of grapes clearly is ag exempt, but then
right.
the processing in the wine probably isn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do chickens as well, and it's value-added agriculture when we butcher our chickens, and we can do up to 1,000 on that. So that's ag-related. I'm just, like I said, I don't know. I can look into it further.
What you might be, so there is a specific code section that says that wineries, tasting rooms, production facilities are considered agriculture for tax assessment classification purposes.
Okay.
Which is different than when we're talking about whether zoning regulations apply or not.
Okay.
And that's a common, it's a common misconception, it's a common point of contention. And so I think Eric stated it well, that the growing of grapes, the even up to possibly the production of wine,
right.
it's where you have a tasting room, marketing, those sorts of activities, marketing and distribution, where I think you're getting away from what the code says, what the Iowa code says about agriculturally exempt activities.
Okay.
And frankly, you can essentially, which is what you would be if you didn't withdraw your application, if you essentially agreed to this, you would be acknowledging, stipulating to that you that the building or the structures would be subject to the building code.
Okay. So if we just, you know, we haven't broken ground, we're still in the planning phase. If we did a separate production facility, I just want to make sure,
you know,
I heard you.
I'd like to take that, you know, that's something I would just want to research.
Yeah,
to get
I mean, I want to answer.
I don't want to be bound by any sort of
I'm just,
opinion tonight.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold you to anything.
But what you know, from a tax classification standpoint, by putting winery facilities on an otherwise ag ground doesn't change it from a tax standpoint.
Okay.
So that's one thing to
right.
take away. But as far as the ag exemption for application of Johnson County zoning ordinance and building code, I'd want to know what you're wanting to have considered ag. And frankly, what the condition says is you build a structure used in the winery process, it's going to need to conform to the Johnson County Building Code.
Yeah, and we've been working with Josh and these guys, and we've been working with Jason on the water. We want to do it right. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so that's why we're here, before we figure, let's get it approved before we break ground and ask for forgiveness. Let's do it right at the beginning on that. We did, as Mitch said, we held events out there. We did the 12 conditional use permits. Last year, we just bought the property. We have a total now of 650 grapes. If you go back to just give you guys a little perspective, our house, our home place is right here. So we live right there. We have 150 grapes here. We have 600 grapes going right there. So we're pretty excited about it. We just got back from the Iowa Grape Growers or Iowa Wine Conference on it. And we want to looking at the comprehensive plan and agritourism. It seems like this is what Johnson County wants. From the surveys that we had, our idea is to build community through agriculture education. So we do want to be a working farm. We are a working farm. We're doing row crop right now. We're getting away from row crop. We're going to be having sheep, pigs, cows. My wife Christy, we're going to have Noah's Ark out there. I don't know, but we want people to celebrate our agricultural heritage here in Johnson County. The advantage that we have too, we're only 5 miles west of Kennick. We are in the county, but it's easy to get there. So we're really excited about it. And I guess any questions you guys have?
Thank you. Any questions?
Kristen, you want?
Yeah. Anybody else in the audience like to make a comment on this application, for or against? Okay, we'll need your name and address.
Paula Boback, 4461 Meyer Avenue Southwest. So I am in support of the winery. I've been out to the property, and it's a beautiful property, and they've done some wonderful things with the property already, and I can see their vision, and I think that it's a wonderful idea, so I'm going to support them.
Thank you. Any questions? Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Does he have to say the whole thing?
Yeah.
He hasn't drunk the Kool-Aid yet.
I haven't.
If you want to make,
your motion will be to approve the application subject to all staff recommendations in the application.
And you have to name the number at the same time?
I think there are six.
No, there's eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
You know, the clearer the better. You don't need to read them verbatim. Staff has presented them and listed them here. And frankly, you could pick and choose. You know, this is staff's recommendation. So if you said, I move to approve conditional use permit application such and such, subject to conditions 1, 3, 6, and 8, you could do that. You are the deciders to use a.
As I understand it, the motion covers 1 through 8 and was seconded 1 through 8, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Any discussion?
At the risk of causing trouble, I don't see the reason for number 5 either. The public may visit the site by appointment only. I've never seen that on any kind of business that can't have regular hours that they're open. That's really what's happening here. Or you're forcing them to fake it. Every time somebody wants to come by and they say, are you open? You say, sure, come by in 10 minutes. What is the reason for that? What's the worst case scenario if 5 is not included?
So in their application, they specifically stated they wanted by appointment only. And so it's what they've requested. Primarily because there's other activities planned. And we want to make sure that all proper permits are in place prior to those activities. This is one way we can help ensure that what they're doing is what they've applied for and what's been permitted by the Board of Adjustment. And also, it'll help the health department ensure that they're not getting out beyond, and again, I think it's a private event for food service, until it becomes open to the public and kind of grows beyond a certain level of visitors, number of visitors.
And did I understand you correctly that if we take that out, then the health department may want to re-examine the application?
I don't want to speak for them, but we told them we were going to request it. They understand how Board of Adjustment works. So, it's a recommendation from us and from the health department. Ultimately, like Rick Ryan said, it is the five of you guys' decisions.
So. But if they put it in there that they wanted it by appointment only,
we're approving
maybe it makes it easier for them because then they're not having to say it's from 8 to 5 and maybe people want to come at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
We could ask us.
Do you guys want us to answer that, Brent?
Would you prefer if 5 was not in there?
Both of us have full time jobs right now.
And so we wanted to start easy.
Yeah, and we want to baby step it, so we are going to be open by appointment only to see how it goes. If you guys take it out of that, then we may not have to come back to you at a later date. But like I said, we're working with planning, zoning, and sustainability on it, or planning, development, and sustainability. We're working with those guys. We're working with the health department. We want to do it right. So that's, if you take it out, we're fine with that. That would be great. If you want to keep it in, we're fine with that as well.
We will grow to a point where we will, but not until we get a little more. It will probably be like, maybe when CSA people are picking up their vegetables, we will be open for 2 hours during that because we're doing you know, CSA from the farm side of it. But we don't have that yet, and we don't have stated open hours yet, and it may not be till second year. So when it comes time, we would have to pay another application and come back and say this was gonna be our open hours. But that is not something we're starting out the gate.
Okay, any other questions, comments, discussion, concerns? Go ahead.
Well, whoever made the motion and seconded the motion, am I the only one that doesn't want that in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Because everything Mitch said can be handled anyway.
Okay.
This isn't the only way that's gonna be approved.
Right. Any other discussion?
Dave, if you wanted to force a vote on your amendment, you could ask, essentially make a motion to amend it rather than just a friendly amendment.
No. I will let them do it if they feel like.
What other discussion do we have?
None.
Roll call.
Evans.
Aye.
Terrell.
Aye.
Parsons.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Leifert.
Aye. Okay, the application is approved subject to the staff recommendations in the action.
Thank you. Yes, appreciate it. And you probably, as we grow, will be coming back.
Yeah, you just need to talk to staff when, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Clearly state right. The motion finally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is the mileage. Any mileage? No.
Nope.
We got one more.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. I apologize. Okay, the next item for consideration is an extension on an application from Paula Hoback.
So this is a request for a private school. It's located kind of in the area we're in, but on Osage Street, just east of Meyer Avenue. What the applicant is requesting is to just extend their time limit to begin the use for another year. So quick history, the board granted this permit, conditional use permit for a private school on May 17th of last year. According to our ordinance, all conditionally permitted uses must be established within 1 year of that permit being approved. The applicant has provided you guys a letter, which I believe is in your packet, explaining that there's a utility company that's gonna install some wires or some high lines through the front of their property or along the right of way, I believe. And that has kind of slowed their dig breaking ground and may alter their site plan. And so according to the ordinance, if there's good cause shown, the board is welcome to grant the application extension of 1 year. Staff has kind of reviewed their request and looked at the progress they've been making. It has no issues with that and would like to recommend that the board grant that approval or grant that extension.
Who is CIPCO?
CIPCO is a utility company. There's a group of rural electric cooperatives. There's like, I think, 10 or 12.
It's the CI Power
Company. Central Iowa Power Cooperative.
Thank you.
The staff have any reason we shouldn't extend?
No, we have no concerns.
Is there anybody else here to speak to this?
It's just me. I don't have anything to say.
Okay. I'll move to approve the extension of conditional use permit 27128.
For 1 year?
For 1 year.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay, discussion. Roll call.
Terrell.
Aye.
Parsons.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Leifers.
Aye.
Evans.
Aye.
Okay. Extension is approved. 1 year.
We'll be here.
Anybody have any mileage? Does anybody have any adjournment motions?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor?
Hi. Okay. Thank you. So I get a check every now and then from the county for like $8. And that's because I told them once how far I come to this thing, right? So it's just automatic. As long as I attend, I get my $8.
Yeah.
But the mileage we're talking about is above and beyond.
Yeah, if you had mileage to go
if you went to a site, if you wanted to go out and check.